Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy?
Reading from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. We'll continue pretty much where we left off yesterday with a message by Pastor Rick Warren, Don't Miss Christmas. We learned about busyness, familiarity, and fear. That's why people oftentimes miss Christmas. Today we're going to look at how to make sure we don't miss Christmas by stop filling our lives with less important things, looking closely at why Jesus came, and listening to the good news of Christmas. We'll learn to stop, look, and listen. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church with the message we began yesterday and will conclude with today, titled, Don't Miss Christmas.
So how do I not miss Christmas? If busyness and familiarity and apathy and unconcern, and if fear or anxiety of what's going to happen if I really open up my life to God, if these things keep me from knowing Christ, from understanding the true meaning of Christmas, how do I not miss Christmas? Well, let me give you a little formula. Do you remember when you were a kid, they taught you a couple safety rules? One of them was if your shirt or your coat catches on fire, you stop, drop, and roll. Remember that? Stop, drop, and roll. That's what you're supposed to do if you catch on fire. And if you're standing at a street corner, you're supposed to stop, look, and listen before you step into the street to see if there's any traffic. I want to take that same little formula, stop, look, and listen. And I want you to remember it as that's the key to not missing the true meaning of Christmas. I mean, you can have, as I said, you can have a Christmas tree in your house and still miss Christmas. You got to stop, you got to look, and you got to listen. Why don't you write this down? Three things. Number one, stop filling my life with less important things. That's the first thing I got to do. Stop filling my life with less important things. Don't let busyness keep me from knowing God. Let me show you a couple verses quickly. Psalm 39 says this, all of man's busy rushing ends in nothing. He heaps up riches for somebody else to spend. That sounds like Orange County. The pace of life, you know, buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't even like. Go out and run in the rat race. Look, you don't want to run the rat race because even if you win, you're still a rat. Humans weren't made to run the rat race. Now, would you agree you can be so busy making a living you forget to make a life? Yeah. I used to have a sign up in my office, and it said this, beware of the barrenness of a busy life, because activity and productivity are not the same. One of my mentors was the father of modern management, Peter Drucker, and he used to teach me, you accomplish more by doing less, by not being so busy. Busyness can fill your schedule, but it'll fracture your family. And the greatest tragedy is that most people are too busy for God. What's the antidote? The antidote is to stop running and slow down. That's the first way you really get to know the meaning of Christmas. You got to stop running and slow down. The Bible says it like this, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. He's saying there, chill out. That's the chill out verse of the Bible. Chill out and know that I'm God. The famous philosopher Pascal said, all of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. I don't know that that's true, but I know that a lot of our problems come from our inability to sit still. We're just too hurried and we're too worried. And when we're hurried and worried, we can't stop filling our lives with less important things and we crowd out God and all of a sudden we're like the innkeeper. We have no room for God. You know, it's interesting to me that of all the people that God announces that he's coming to earth in human form as the Son of God, the first group that he tells is the shepherds. Shepherds? Are you kidding me? Sheep herders? You need to understand that in that culture 2,000 years ago, sheep herders or shepherds were the lowest rung on the status ladder. They were lower than criminals. They were considered stinky, dirty, smelly, worthless people. And so who does God tell the good news to first? The shepherds, the sheep herders, the outcasts, the people on the fringe, on the edge, the people that nobody else wants to associate with. He tells them first. Now, why did God tell the shepherds that the Son of God had been born in Bethlehem before he told anybody else? Well, I think one of the reasons was they weren't busy. They weren't busy, okay? They were just there. They were out there, and, you know, they're sitting around on a starry night with a bunch of sheep, and if an angel shows up, what else you got to do? Listen, you know? There's no television, so they're obviously not in a hurry. And when God says, go to Bethlehem and see this new baby, well, they go. They're not like, sorry, we got three Christmas parties we got to go to first. They weren't busy. God always speaks to the person who is willing to listen. And God doesn't talk to you if you say, excuse me, God, I don't have any time. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, no wonder God never talks to you. You're too busy. You don't take time to just sit still and be quiet, read the Bible and just be quiet. I don't have time to get to know God. Then you're too busy. Proverbs 10:27 says this, reverence for God adds hours to each day. In other words, if you need more time, you need to give some to God. Whatever you need more of, you give to God. You need more money, give some to God. You need more energy, give some to God. You'll get more energy. You need more talent. If you use your talent for God, God will give you more talent. Whatever you give to God, he gives you more of. If you say, I just can't keep up. I can't keep up. I'm so behind. You need to reverence God on a daily basis. A quiet time with God. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. So you got to stop filling my life with less important things. The second thing you've got to do is you got to look. What I mean by that, look closely at why Jesus came. I mean, you know that he came. It's called Christmas. But why? Could you give me the five or six reasons why Jesus came to earth? Could you tell me those statements, those quotes where Jesus said, I came to earth for this purpose? You need to look closely at why Jesus came. Make the effort to check it out, to investigate Jesus, to say, who was he? What did he say? What did he claim? And why does he matter? And what difference does it make to my life today? Do an investigation. This is, by the way, what Herod told the wise men to do. It's one thing Herod did right. In Matthew 2, verse 8, Herod tells the wise men, go and make a careful search. Go and make a careful search for the child. By the way, why were the wise men called wise? Because they made the effort to check it out. They made the effort to check it out. We don't really know what they saw in the sky. I mean, people said a comet, people said a star. We don't really know what it was. But if God can create the entire universe, he can do anything he wants to. He can create a special star if he wants to because he made the whole universe. But we don't know what they saw, but here's what we do know. Other people had to see it too. Because if it's in the sky, the rest of the world could see it. And while there were many people much closer to Bethlehem than those wise men who came from afar, none of them made the effort. None of them made the effort. They saw the same star. They didn't check it out. They didn't look closely at why Jesus came. When others were close and missed Christmas, the people who came from afar didn't miss it. They took the time to stop and to look at the star. You know, many, many years ago when I was a young man, I was working as a lifeguard in a camp in the mountains in Northern California. And one night I went into my cabin and I got down on my knees and I guess you could say I prayed. It wasn't much of a prayer. But I just kind of rambled. And I got on my knees and I said something like this, God, if there is a God, I want to know you. I don't want to go through my life missing out on you if you really exist. And if you can give me a better life than I'm living right now, I want it. I don't want the good life. I want the better life. And I don't understand it all, but Jesus Christ, if you're real and you can be my Savior, then I want to know you. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you. And I humbly ask you to make yourself real to me. Amen. It was a real simple prayer. Do you know what happened when I prayed that prayer? Nothing. Nothing. I didn't feel any different. I didn't cry. I didn't get a quiver in my liver. I didn't have some emotional experience. No angels came down and flapped their wings. There was no shining light. My hair didn't turn white like Charlton Heston. There was no emotion to the event at all. It was simply a matter of fact, simple rational decision, but it was the turning point in my life. I later learned that the reason why it didn't mean a whole lot to me is because I didn't understand all the implications of it. And the more that I understand the benefits and the blessings and the implications of knowing Christ, the more excited I get about it. It's kind of like when I got married. I remember when I got married, the next day on the first day of our honeymoon, I woke up and I looked over at Kay in bed and I said to her, "You know, I don't feel married." She said, "Well, it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not, buddy, you're married." Okay, you did say I do, okay? You're married. And my emotions hadn't caught up with my decision. About 2 weeks later, I remember waking up and rolling over and just seeing her laying there in bed, and I just thought, I get to have this woman the rest of my life as my best friend, as my companion. And I said, she's my best friend, and I love her more every day, and I'm going to get to have her the rest of my life. And I remember all of a sudden I was filled with this joy. And I got up and I started jumping around the room going, "I'm married, I'm married, I'm married, I'm married." And Kay wakes up and she goes, "Well, it's about time you figured that out." A little delayed reaction. And sometimes that happens when you give your life to Christ. You just go, sounds reasonable. Sounds like if God is God, then obviously God has a place in my life. Jesus Christ, I invite you in to be my Savior. The Bible says at Christmas, "For unto you is born a Savior." Believe me, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have wasted time sending one. There's no way you're getting into heaven on your own. No way. Zero, nada, zip. No snowball's chance in hell. You're going to heaven by your good works because you're not good enough. And I'm not either. It's perfect. If we could get to heaven by just being nice people, Jesus coming as a Savior would have been unnecessary. Jesus dying on the cross would have been a waste of time. "For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You need a Savior. And the only rational, reasonable response to that is to humbly go, "You're right. I am not perfect. I am flawed. I am not God, and I need a Savior. And there's no way I'm getting a ticket into heaven by being a nice guy because I'm not nice enough to be perfect. And heaven is the perfect place." So I come to God and I just say, "Here I am." Now here's what the Bible says. Jeremiah 29:13. "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart." I want to challenge you to not be like one of those people who celebrates all the traditions of Christmas year after year after year after year with zero curiosity about why we actually celebrate it and what it means to my life today. God says, "You'll seek me when you find me, when you seek me with all your heart." God says, "I want you to be a seeker. I want you to check me out." And if you've never read the Bible, you might want to just get a Bible and in the new year, start reading through the book of John. That's the book that tells the most about Jesus. The Bible is 66 books put together under one cover. The book of John tells the most about Jesus. And just say, "God, as I read this, help me to understand who Jesus really was." And ask him to do that. And if you do that, he will become real to you. So, "Well, I don't have a Bible." We'll be glad to give you a Bible. Just ask for one. And by the way, it's okay to have doubts. I wish somebody had told me years ago that I could become a follower of Christ, I could be saved spiritually without having all my doubts answered. If I had known that, I would have done it years earlier. I thought that I had to have all of my doubts figured out first. That's nonsense. Because there's a lot of things I don't understand that I benefit from. I don't understand how radio and television and computer waves go through the air, but it doesn't stop me from using a television or a radio or a cell phone. I don't understand the physics of internal combustion, but it doesn't stop me from driving a car. I don't understand the chemistry of digestion, but it doesn't stop me from eating a steak. I learned a long time ago, I don't have to have everything figured out to benefit from it. And I wish somebody had told me that I didn't have to have all my questions answered before I could develop a friendship with God, because it would have happened a whole lot sooner. One time there was a guy who came to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, I need you to heal my daughter." And Jesus goes, "Well, do you believe that I can heal your daughter?" And the guy says, "Well, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts." You know what Jesus said? "That's good enough." Bam, he healed the girl. You can come to God and go, "I want to believe. Help me with my doubts." The only thing that would hold you back is ego, pride, or fear. And I'm saying you need to stop, you need to look, and then the third thing you need to do is listen. Listen to the good news of Christmas. Don't be afraid of good news. Why would anybody be afraid of good news? The Bible says Christmas was, I bring you good news of great joy. Why would anybody be afraid of that? Luke chapter 2, it says, the angel said, fear not. Do you know that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible? One for every day of the year. He said, don't be afraid. Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. Notice he doesn't say, I bring you bad news of great misery. A lot of people think, well, you know what? If I really give my life to Christ, I'm going to have bad news of great misery. No, you're not. You're not living until you're connected to the Creator who made you. I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. It is good news. What is this good news? Next verse, John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have, read it with me, life, and have it to the what? Fullest. Circle those words, life, fullest. That is what Jesus Christ came at Christmas to do, to give you life to the fullest. Now, you know why he came to give you life to the fullest? Because you are not living life to the fullest. I guarantee you are not living life to the fullest. You cannot live life to the fullest until you connect with the Creator who loves you and made you and has a purpose for your life. And you're not going to find your purpose for your life on your own because you didn't make you. Only God can tell you your purpose in life. And then you can live life to the fullest. See, most people aren't really living. They're just existing. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, go to parties on the weekend, and they think, I'm living. No, you're not living. You're existing. You lose your fear when you understand what Jesus came to do. Look at the next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. No. But to save the world through him. He came not to scare us, but to save us. By the way, have you ever thought about, of all the ways that God could have come to earth, why in the world did he come as a baby? I could have think of a lot more impressive ways. If God is going to come to earth and let us know what he's like, I could think of a whole lot more pretty epic, you know, great CGI movie quality. Wow. But he comes as a baby. He came to earth the same way everybody else came to earth, by being born into it. We all got here that way. Why did God come to earth as a baby? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted to save us, not to scare us. And nobody's afraid of a baby. There are a lot of ways that God could have come in the world that would have scared the spit out of you. But he didn't. He came in a way we all came into this world, by being born into it. Because he came to save us. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's what the Christmas song says. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of year you've had. It may have been a tough year, rough year, sad year. It was a rough year for me. I'm still recovering from the loss of my son, who took his life and after 27 years of mental illness, died. It's a very rough year for me. And I've cried every day since he died. But in spite of that, I have a peace in me and a joy in me that nobody can take away. And if I didn't have that in me, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. What I'm telling you about, I have lived this. I have been down in the pit. I have seen the worst. I have dealt with the worst possible things in humanity. I've pastored this church in Orange County for 35 years. There is no sin that can shock me. There is no problem that could shock me because I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've seen the dark side and the evil side of every one of us. But I also know this, for unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he says, I've come that you might have life. And I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. And he says, you're not really living until you know me. So no matter what you're going through, here's my advice. I did it. I suggest you do it too. When things get really, really bad, don't run from God. Run to him. Because you don't get any comfort running away. You just get more fear, more anxiety, more misery, more pain. But when you run to God, you get the comfort of God. So let me just wrap it up. Which of these three things could cause you to miss Christmas? Busyness, I'm too busy. I'm busy with my business. I'm busy with my schedule. I'm busy with too many things concentrated. Indifference, familiarity, where you say, I'm so familiar with this. I've heard it all my life. and you just let it go over your head and you don't even think about it. You put up the tree, you send the cards, you have the party, you make the punch, you do the gifts, you do all the traditions, and you miss the meaning. You're no better than the religious people 2,000 years ago who knew all the answers but missed the meaning. What about fear? Are you really kind of like Herod? I don't want anybody else to be king in my life. I want to be king. I want to be God. I don't want God to be God in my life. I want to be God. That is a really not wise approach to life, because all it's going to cause is problems, pain. How's that going for you, by the way? Is that working out real good, you being your own God? Is that working out good? All your problems solved? If you're God, then all your problems are solved, right? No. No, you need to come to God humbly and do these three things. Look there on your outline, three things. For a new life at Christmas, first, stop. The Bible says Christ carried the burden of our sins on the cross so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what's right, and his wounds heal us. I stop the old way, I begin the new way. Then I look. The Bible says, let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God and there is no other. And then listen. Listen to what God says. And here's what God says. This is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not in 10 years. Why? Because you're not guaranteed 10 years. You're not guaranteed next week. Whatever you're going to do, you better do it now, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow, and neither am I. Today, he says, is the day for salvation. Today is the day to trust him with your life. Now, let me just close with this. The whole reason we give gifts at Christmas, because the wise men started this tradition. They brought gifts to give to the baby Jesus. And so today we give gifts to each other because the wise men brought gifts. Now, can you imagine going to somebody's birthday where everybody gives gifts to each other except to the birthday boy? You go, what kind of party is that? You get gifts, everybody else gets gifts, but nobody gives gifts to the birthday boy. What are you giving Jesus for his birthday? You're going to give gifts to everybody else, and you're going to get gifts from everybody. What are you going to give Jesus for his birthday? You say, well, I don't know. What do you give the guy who's got everything? You give him what he doesn't have. What does Jesus not have? He doesn't have your love unless you give it to him. He doesn't have your trust unless you give it to him. He doesn't have your life unless you give it to him. And he's not going to force it. It's a matter of love. He gave his life for you. Will you give your life to him? Let's bow our heads. And as we close, I'm going to pray a Christmas prayer. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me. And really, it doesn't even matter if you say the words. What matters is the attitude of your heart. And really, there's only one attitude you must have to be saved. It's humility. It's to say, God, I believe that you are God and I'm not. And that I need a Savior, that I cannot save myself. I cannot get into heaven. I cannot forgive my own sins. I cannot know my own purpose. And so I need you as a Savior for my past to be forgiven, my purpose for living, my home in heaven. Would you pray this prayer just in your mind? Just say, dear God, just say that in your mind. Dear God, I don't understand it all, but I want to be gut level honest. I want to be totally honest with you right now. I have allowed busyness to keep me from knowing you. And I have allowed even being familiar with things to keep me from knowing you. And I have allowed even fear to keep me from knowing you. But I thank that you love me in spite of all my faults and my failures. And so this Christmas, as much as I know how, Jesus Christ, I open up my life to you. I don't understand it all. And I got doubts and questions. But I want to be a friend of God. And I need a Savior. I realize that if I didn't need one, you wouldn't have sent one at Christmas. And you have said a Savior has been born for me, so I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I want to learn to love him and trust him the rest of my life. And I humbly make this request in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Did you just pray that prayer? Welcome to the family of God. Maybe you followed Jesus for many years and know him as Lord and Savior and prayed that as a dedication to renew that relationship and walk more faithfully. That prayer in this message titled Don't Miss Christmas was a part of yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends, and you can hear it again or pass it on to a friend by stopping by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen under the Mark and Friends tab. Don't miss Christmas because of busyness, familiarity, or fear. And ways to not miss this Christmas? Stop filling your life with less important things, look closely at why Jesus came, and listen to the good news of Christmas. Remember to stop, look, and listen. It's day 18 of Advent. Christmas time's a-coming. Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.